Hey, what's up, everyone? It's your guy, Taylor Young here. I'm kind of all over the place this particular night with the topics. So 50 Cent is the latest celebrity that officially endorsed Trump. That news broke out earlier today. And to be honest with you, it kind of like disrupted my day, you know, to be totally honest with you. I don't know why, it just angered me. It made me frustrated and pissed. I think the reason that he is endorsing Trump is because of the Biden and Kamala proposed new tax bill or their tax plans. And so if you don't know, Biden and Kamala said that when they, you know, actually, I'm going to speak into existence. So when they do take office, they're saying that, and they're promising that anyone who is who makes less than $400,000, their taxes or their income taxes will not increase again. Their income tax will not increase. Only people who make $400,000 and more will have an increase in taxes. Okay, or income tax. And 50 Cent doesn't like that. I saw somewhere with the numbers, but I can't really find it now. But and the numbers were kind of high as far as income tax. But it's like, come on now. Like, you are a proposed, I guess, you know, filthy rich person, multimillionaire. And yes, I think no one likes money taken out of their account, you know. I think everyone wish they could just keep all the money they can, all the money they make. But when you are part of a country or part of a community, I do think not just morally, but ethically, I think it's kind of like your duty to make sure everyone else is decent. You know, I don't think no one's trying to say everyone should make the same. I don't think no one is saying that everyone deserves to drive a nice car and have the biggest house. At that point, you have to earn that. And I think most people agree with that. But when you are a filthy rich multimillionaire, or when you have billionaires out there, and then you have people who are on the streets, people who can't afford rent, people who can't find food to eat the next day, honestly, I think it should be a law that, first of all, no one should be homeless. I don't care if they are on drugs. I don't care if they are alcoholic. That's just me. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with that. But or a lot of people love to say, well, I don't want to pay for nobody's lifestyle if they're not working. You have no idea why somebody doesn't have a job. You have no idea why somebody is on the street. They can just be having a bad moment in life. And I feel like it is disgusting to have all these like super wealthy, like money you would never touch type of wealth. And it's kind of like, come on, like if, especially as a black man, you're supporting Trump. Like, do you know his racist rhetoric? Do you know what he probably thinks of you? And I think 50 Cent being, you know, I guess pretty much a mentor to so many black youth, you know, specifically probably black men of all ages. I think it's just reckless and not, I guess reckless is a good word. It's so inconsiderate of him, you know. Like, are you thinking? And again, I saw somewhere on Twitter that 50 Cent kind of reminds you that money does change people. And I think when you get a taste of that lifestyle, anything that kind of like imposes on it or might take it away, it scares you. And if 50 Cent is wealthy as he claims, then okay, yes, it might hurt a little bit, I think when you're that wealthy, at some point, it just feels good to look at your bank account and see, you know, $50 million, or it just looks good to see $100 million, but you don't actually feel the effect of it, unless you're living beyond your means. If you're living beyond your means, and you got bills to pay, then okay, yes, you should be worried. But I feel like if you're an average person, you got a nice house, nice car, you travel twice a year, like, I can imagine living paycheck to paycheck or month to month when you are a millionaire. So to me, if you are living paycheck to paycheck and you're a millionaire, then that's your problem. But if you are the average person, you know, and you have a nice lifestyle, a huge tax should not bother you that much. And especially when you know the taxes is going to the betterment of the country as a whole, so people who are less fortunate. So I just wanted to mention that, like, that really made me upset. So, you know, in the past, so the first presidential debate, Trump kept interrupting Biden, just kind of being a bully, being ignorant, and just being himself, being Trump, and not following the rules. He kept interrupting Biden as he was talking or as he's answering, you know, the six questions, or when it was his turn, Trump on purpose, like, interrupts him and kind of, you know, try to throw him off. So to fix that, the Commission on Presidential Debates announced today that this Thursday, on the second and final presidential debate, each candidate will be given 2 minutes to answer the initial question at the start of each of the six segments. Okay, and during those first 2 minutes, the other person's mic will be muted. So that way it's impossible for that person to interrupt them. Sets it up for it to be a smooth transition and a more smoother, productive debate, which I like that, because now Trump will have to wait till Biden gets all his words out, you know, within the 2 minutes of him initially answering the question, and then he can come and say what he got to say. But I like this. I think it's better for Biden, because Biden, I mean, if we keep it real, I don't think he has that quickness to truly combat Trump. So this is beneficial to Biden. Like, you know, you get 2 minutes of uninterrupted time to answer the question and get your point across. Okay, and then the last topic is something that I'm excited about. It's Unsolved Mysteries. So Netflix put out the second installment. First of all, Unsolved Mysteries first aired back in 1987, back in January of 1987. And then it's a huge hit. I think it has like dozens of seasons, you know, like from like the 80s and 90s. But Netflix brought it back in this year, back in July. It was six episodes in the first installment, which you can check it out now. And then today they released the second installment of new episodes, which I cannot wait to check it out. I might check it out tonight or sometime this weekend. But I can't wait. And then, so I noticed the it was trending on Twitter, and I know that I love all things true crime. So yeah, it made me do a little bit of research to figure out why are there people like me who absolutely love true crime. And to make it clear, true crime does not include, you know, CSI, Law and Order, SVU, like those type of shows. Like, we, like, true crime is literally like I can Google the case and read about it, like it actually happened. So why are there people out there like me? We're like a huge community, not really a community, but I mean, if I shall say a community, it's probably millions of us. But anyways, why is there such a fanfare for true crime shows? You know, Unsolved Mysteries, Cold Case Files, Forensic Files. Literally, I could watch it at night, and there have been times where I have fallen asleep to the narrator talking about some murder. So yeah, I did a little bit of research, and I came upon this article from Mental Floss, and it's called 12 Reasons We Love True Crime According to the Experts. So I'm only going to read a few of them, just because it's 12 and it's a lot. So one of the reasons why psychologist Dr. Paul Matuzzi, I guess, says that because evil is fascinating. So the true crime genre gives people a glimpse into the minds of people who have committed what forensic psychologists Dr. Paul Matuzzi calls, quote, a most fundamental taboo. And he said, in every case, he writes, there is an assessment to be made about the enormity of evil involved. This fascination with good versus evil, according to Mantel, has existed forever. Dr. Elizabeth Rutha, a licensed clinical psychologist at Advocate Illinois Masonic Medical Center in Chicago, told AHC Health News that our fascination begins when we're young, Even as kids, we're drawn to the tension between good and evil, and true crime embodies our fascination with that dynamic. We want to figure out what drove these people to these extreme acts and what makes them tick, because we would never actually commit the murder. And yeah, and I think that's where I kind of mostly align to as well. It's kind of like, why do they do that? I guess kind of how, and like, was there no other option? Like, did you not think about divorce, or did you not think about just separating? Did you not think about why did you have to, like, I rob a bank, you know? And then the author of Lost Girls, Caitlin Rother, says, "We want some insight into psychology of a killer, partly so we can learn how to protect our families and ourselves, but also because we are simply fascinated by aberrant behavior and the many paths that twisted perceptions can take. Another reason why is because what they say is most humans cannot look away from a train wreck." And you all know how that is. Like, you're on a highway and the traffic's backed up, or you know, like on a regular, you know, busy road, and you're like, why is it slow? And then it's like, oh, okay, it's an accident. And you cannot lie. When you pass, you kind of have to, like, you know, bend your neck and kind of look over to see what happened. How bad was it? You want to make sure or figure out if everyone's okay. So it's kind of like that same phenomenon. Like we have to check out the train wreck. Like, man, like, how bad is it? So Scott Bond, professor of criminology at Drew University and author of Why We Love Serial Killers, he says, serial killers tantalize people much like traffic accidents, train wrecks, or natural disasters. The public's fascination with them can be seen as a specific manifestation of its more general fixation on violence and calamity. In other words, the actions of a serial killer may be horrible to behold, but much of the public simply cannot look away due to the spectacle. Another reason why we like true crime so much is psychologists say one of the main reasons we're obsessed with true crime is because it gives us an opportunity to feel relieved that we're not the victim. Also, it gives people an adrenaline rush. And then you have people like me who we like it because we're trying to solve the mystery. And then also, one of my favorite reasons why, and this is kind of why I like horror movies a lot as well. One reason is because we like to be scared in a controlled way. Quote, as a source of popular culture entertainment, true crime allows us to experience fear and horror in a controlled environment where the threat is exciting but not real. For example, the stories of real life killers are often for adults, while monster movies are for children. That's all I have for tonight. Didn't have much. Nothing really happened this week or last week leading up today. Again, of course, I'm excited for the final and last presidential debate this week. Please make sure you go out and vote, and I'll catch you guys back here.